Andy KBC. It's Peter Tilden, and back with Ed Ring, Executive Director at the California Policy Center. Thanks for that, by the way, if you didn't catch the last segment, a real elucidating and frightening picture of the global markets right now. So here, closer to home, explain to people what CalPERS are, if they don't understand the portfolio and how that's used for pensions in our state, what CalPERS is.
CalPERS is the biggest state and local government worker pension fund. It's administered for all the state workers, but a lot of cities and counties also participate in CalPERS. It's actually one of about 70 state or local pension funds in California. They have $300 billion that they've invested all over the place. I actually took a look at where those investments are, but basically their job is to invest money that comes from local and state governments and use the proceeds of those investments to pay for the pensions, the retirement pensions that those workers get when they retire. And the problem is, you know, even though they've got $300 billion sitting there, is that when the market doesn't earn 7.5% a year, they lose ground and they become so-called underfunded. CalPERS ought to have $390 billion. To be 100% funded, CalPERS should have $390 billion as of the end of their last fiscal year.
And they're only 77% funded.
They've only got about $300, which is about 77%. And the thing is, when you're at the top of a market, you should be overfunded. When you're down at 7, this is the fallacy when people say, oh, 80% or more is a safe level of funding. That's true if you're at the bottom of a market. But when you're at the top of a bull market, you should be 120%.
Yeah, oh, man.
That's the thing that's a little bit frightening.
So now what's happening, based on the history we just had in the last segment, you can see where the stock market's going. You can see we just lost another 200 points yesterday. I don't know where we're at tonight at the end of the day. But you're talking about every moment that they're guessing at the 7.5% is return, and they're short of that 7.5 return, they're losing ground. And this was a good market in good times. Now, if we were really turning the corner into bad times, holy crap. But let me ask you this. Why do they figure, okay, well, 7.5 is a little bit earnest. Let's reduce our expectation to 6.5. Do they just bend over and pull a number out of their buttocks? How do they get that number?
Well, you know, they probably don't do it quite that way. But when you get, you know, as a metaphor, it's not a bad one because nobody really knows. What, you know, you can say historically that we, you know, dividends plus capital appreciation of stocks has averaged about 7.5% historically. But that's not a guarantee that over the next 10 or 20 years they're going to be able to get those returns because, again, there's this long-term 30-year credit expansion. In 1985, I don't remember exactly the rate, but we had double-digit treasury bill return rates. In other words, the risk-free rate of return was over 10%. I think the 30-year T-bill in the early 80s peaked at 16%.
Whoa.
So when they started to lower interest rates 30 years ago, every time they did that, it made people take money that would have been invested in fixed income securities like T-bills and put their money into the stock market. And it also made people more willing to borrow money and invest that money to buy things and which would create corporate profits, which, you know, which would, of course,
right,
elevate the value of stocks. So we've been on this road from 16% interest rates down to 0% interest rates. We've gone all the way we can go over the last 30 years. That's one reason. And another reason that we might see lower returns in the next 30 years as opposed to the history is because people are getting older and they're selling their investments. People have been saving all their lives, all these baby boomers. You know, we got 22% of the population over 65 in the next 10 years. 10, 20 years ago, it was half that. We have twice as many people.
And people are living longer, by the way. Yep.
They're living longer. There's more older people who have been saving all their lives. And now they're selling their savings. So you have all this money now that people are generating for their retirements by liquidating their savings.
All right, so let me interrupt you for one
second.
So, Ed, We got a minute left. What's the? I gave you a minute for a solution. Other than hoping that everybody drops dead so they don't drain the system, which is horrible, what is the solution?
CalPERS needs to start fighting for reform. CalPERS lobbied back in 99 when they enhanced all these benefits. CalPERS was always there when the benefits were being increased to these unaffordable levels.
Yep.
That CalPERS was there lobbying to increase the benefits, saying, we can make all this money. Well, if that's not true anymore, CalPERS needs to turn around and start fighting for reforms with their lobbyists instead of fighting against reform.
Or they're going to be dead in the water. Ed, it was such a pleasure talking to you. You're so knowledgeable. I'm not going to make a stock market move without you when I take my money out of paper. When I take my money out of paper towels and college educations, I'm calling you. Ed is the executive director at the California Policy Center. And to know more information and get more informed, it's CalPolyCenter.org. CalPolicyCenter.org. And I thank you. You're a wonderful guest. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much. And
really appreciate it. And you take care of yourself. And let's keep our fingers crossed that they do change their policy a bit. And again, CalPolicyCenter.org. Talk with you at 790 KBC.